They're so excited this time of the year and expecting. Hopefully everyone will be pleased with their gifts. The giving of gifts has been a custom over 1,000 years of recorded human history. But at Christmas time, there seems to be a lot of time spent around gift giving. We spent time making gift lists, buying gifts, wrapping gifts, giving gifts, and of course, opening gifts, thanking people for the gifts, and finally, returning gifts. But there is a great blessing in giving gifts. The joy of seeing a child or a loved one or a friend that's far away, knowing that they received a thank you from you and that someone is thinking about them, is worth all the effort. It cheers our hearts. The majority of the gifts you will give and receive will wear out and become obsolete in a few months. There will be a number of exceptions to what I've said, for in time some gifts may become antiques, outliving the givers and eventually winding up in someone's home or in someone's attic, enjoyed by others in other generations. But the focus of Christmas is about giving. That's as simple as it is. The reason we're here tonight, the main reason, the reason I'm here tonight for certain, is to thank God for the greatest gift ever given in the history of mankind. You'll not find this gift in a stocking. You'll not find it under a tree. It is found by those who seek him. In Matthew, there were some astute people, wise men. We've heard of wise men. They were who, amongst other things, watched the stars. And they knew prophecies not only had come to Israel, but to others, other people. And they saw a star. And they knew that that star was the star of the King of Israel. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search out carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had been seen in the east, went before them. And it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Wise men, as we said, men who study the stars, men who study prophecies and signs of his coming, saw his star, and they journeyed from the east to worship him and bring him gifts. Foolish men like Herod, with darkened hearts, feared him and plotted to destroy him. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that, and I want to say this about Jesus, for the children are not familiar sometimes, or a child to a woman, nor will there ever be another child like him. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am not have not known a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Very interesting. He shall be overshadowed. A similar word is used once in the Old Testament, and it's used in the Genesis, where it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the earth and brought forth life. And then this word replicates that. That's the word for it. And basically, it's only used once. And it's used when the Spirit of God hovers over Mary. This is a unique creation.
Okay.
Thank you. This Jesus, he is the eternal Son of God, God incarnate, God clothed in human flesh. He provided a connection between God and man and expressed God's love to us. He identified with us in his humanity. He expressed God's love to us through his life and through his miracles and his compassion and his mercy and his faithfulness. Micah said of him, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come to me to be ruler over Israel. His going forths are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So often we just think of this little baby in the manger around Christmas time, and we look at that and the children come and we have a creche, and it's nice, it's cute, but this is the eternal Son of God. This is one who was equal with God, in the same form of God, who saw our depravity, who saw our lostness, our pain, and who gave up equality with God to take on the form of a man. That's a lot of love. And the Father who sent him had a lot of love. Isaiah speaks of him, and it's interesting that some of the words of Isaiah the prophet were incorporated in the greeting that Gabriel gave to Mary in the Annunciation, that she would become the mother of the Son of God, of Jesus. And Isaiah said this, Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." Jesus is not only the greatest gift given, he is the gift that never stops giving. He never stops giving. He's present and he's available every minute of your life on this earth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to God, the Father, and eternal life. There's no other way. Consider the words of the prophet Isaiah, which we just read, foretelling the birth and eventual reign of Lord Jesus Christ. He's called Wonderful. And whether you say he's the Wonderful Counselor, or the words Wonderful Counselor, or one, take them separately, the word Wonderful is an amazing word. Wonderful. Well, what an incredible name. That's one of his names. Do you know that it means astonishing, wonderment? In my life, I have had the blessings of, how would I say, of encountering Jesus in so many different circumstances. I have seen him work miracles. A woman, paralyzed, barely able to even move. I watched God touched her, turned her around, and basically, I remember just taking her by the hand. She was in a room with us, a large meeting. In fact, it was at Riviere College not so many years ago. And we took her by the hand, and this woman, who had been to 4 hospitals and 5 doctors, and then nothing they could do with her, was instantaneously healed. She ran around that building, just ran around, came back completely healed. I've seen him open a blind eye. I've seen him heal 2 men, ages 20 and 21, both born deaf, both of them hearing. I've seen him heal marriages and heal and deliver people from alcoholism and drug addiction. I've seen people who have been oppressed and unable to function, him literally set them free, just as he did when he was here on earth, literally casting a demon out of them and seeing them released and free to live the life that God called them to live. Oh, he is absolutely astonishing. And he keeps on giving. There's a little thing I wanted to tell you about him, but I would say this. If you could think of Jesus and how great and awesome he is, and imagine, use your imagination to the as far as it would go, you could not touch the greatness and the glory of this person, the Son of God and God the Son. Just amazing. And wonderful is such a wonderful word. I have to tell you about that. You know, around 11 years ago, my late wife was going through a real serious bout with cancer. She died from that cancer. For some reason, she passed. But we were down in Mass General that morning. I'll never forget it. And I took her and I helped her out of the car. She'd been going for chemo every week, and she was pretty weak at that time. And I can remember we got out of the car, and I had to walk with her gingerly down to the elevators, and I walked with her. And just before we got on the elevator, she turned to me with those big blue eyes and said, "You're a wonderful husband. You have no idea how good that." I don't know any man in here who's ever been called wonderful by his wife. My mother never called me wonderful. And I'll tell you, I just swelled with that and just held her on. We got on that elevator. And the next week, it was the same thing. We came on down and walked to that elevator. And it was just about the same spot as we just stepped up on the one step to move to the elevators. And she looked at me and said, "You're a good husband." I don't know what happened, but I looked at her. I looked at her and I said, "No, wonderful." And she chuckled and got on the elevator and never said wonderful since. But I just want you to know, when you think about the name wonderful, what it means, it's filled with awe and wonder, and it's just such a powerful name. And the second name that he's given is Counselor. He's the Counselor above all counselors. There's no counselor like our Lord Jesus. In the darkest hours and in the deepest trials of my life, he never left me. And through his word and the Holy Spirit that he sent, he has given me wise counsel and comforted me. And he'll do the same for you. He never leaves. You see, all of these gifts you have, sometimes you got to play them. It's an instrument. Sometimes it's a toy. Sometimes it's a game. But I want to tell you something. If you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, he's with you every minute, every second of your life, from that day forward and in through eternity. In through eternity. You're never without him. You're never without his hope. You're never without his comfort. You're never without his love. You're never without his assurance. He truly is wonderful counsel. And here's the other thing. Mighty God, the everlasting Father. Both of those names appear in Isaiah. And you know, just last week, I was mentioning when Jesus, during the time after his resurrection, before his ascension, he came and met with his disciples who were out in the boat fishing, and he was on the seashore. And he called to them, and he said, "Children." And I thought about that this week. He had called them friends before. They called him Lord. But now he said to them, "Children." Yes, he is the everlasting Prince. And that's the other thing he brings, is that peace. Now, what I say is this to you today, that we're not just celebrating the birth that took place some 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating the advent of God into the world. Oh, by the way, you get a chance, you can read in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. I'll just read the first four verses prior to him becoming that child here on earth, that body being prepared for him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the creator. That's his claim. And that's who he is. God created this world. And I want to give you some reasons why we need to believe in Jesus. You know, the reason he came is that it was necessary. It was essential to the restoration of fallen man. All men have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. all have sinned. And sin means to miss the mark. And if we look around and we're hardworking people or we're just decent people out there and we help others, we do things, and we can say, well, what are we doing wrong? God should be happy with us. No, you know, even the good works that we do, He puts in our heart. He puts kindness in our heart. He puts compassion in our heart. I always wondered about that in years past. I saw believers who were doing nothing and non-believers, as I would call them, who were going to nursing homes and helping out people. And believers were doing the same thing. But I thought to myself, God, why did they do that? And the answer came to me from the book of Esther, where the children of Israel went into captivity. And it says, when they came captive into that land, defeated, imprisoned, with nothing, maybe but the clothes on their back, God gave them favor with the people. And the people provided for them and gave them what they needed to get started and reestablished in life for the next 70 years they would be in that land of Babylon. Can they take credit for that? They were nice people. It would be a mistake to compare ourselves to others. It's best to just look to the fact that we all kind of mess up, and one day we're wonderful, the next day we're a good man, and the next day we're that lousy guy, that husband that's out there doing something he should do. Hello, that's the way it works. So the nature of man, as Pope John Paul II put it, I love that. He just came up with this. I'll tell you the truth, I've heard some of the theologians try to explain it and they kind of stumble, but basically what he said is you cannot define mankind apart from Christ. And simply what was being said by him is this truth that when we are separated from God, we can know about God, but when we know God and God is in us and God transforms us, then the real nature of man as it was intended to be is seen. A nature filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and moral excellence and brotherly kindness and love. All of these things come and God puts them in all of us. God created this world, a beautiful garden for man. And man was the crowning glory of that creation. He uniquely made us in His own image and likeness. That first man, Adam, sinned, and sin passed on to all other men. The man Adam was deceived by the serpent. He believed that God was holding back something from him. You know, that's the truth when you look that account in Genesis. The serpent says to Adam, you see that tree there? God doesn't eat it because if you eat it, you'll be like. What he was saying to him is, God is holding back from you. I want you to know on this Christmas Eve that God held nothing back. He sent His only begotten precious Son into this world to die for you, to restore you back to Him. He paid that price for our restoration, for our forgiveness, by taking the punishment for our sins in His body on the cross. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting. The gift of God, Son, His only begotten Son, is priceless. You can't buy it. You can't afford it. There's no material thing. All of the wealth of the cosmos is not of value to Him. He just spoke it into existence. It's priceless. And that gift, as I said earlier, won't be found in your stocking and it won't be found under your tree. Many of you have received that gift. Christ lives in your heart. You received Him as Lord and as your Savior. He's given you the assurance of eternal life. He lives in your heart and you're His children. Ambassadors who are to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to others. May you all be found faithful in the calling God has on. I encourage others tonight who have not received, who have received Jesus, or who are ignoring Him and getting caught up in the busyness of worldly pursuits, to stir up the gift that is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stir it up. Jesus is waiting. He's listening. And He and His Father love you. May you have a very blessed and a prosperous and a merry Christmas. May God bless you all, each and every one. And may you choose Jesus. Just have to ask a simple prayer to ask Him into your heart. Forgive your sins. Let Him take over. I'll tell you what. It's an experience that you will never regret and a blessing that you will have now and forever. Can you say amen?